Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we are going to look at some principles of upbringing children so that the audience gets a detailed description of the matter concerning how to raise their children Islamically. And today we have in our studio guest speaker Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Sister Salma.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for inviting me over.
We were discussing about a question where a person had asked that an 11-year-old doesn't like studying and they have to always force them to study, and this leads to arguments, so how to avoid them. And then you said about how they're limited sometimes because of the school, and sometimes a child doesn't study because they are too smart, so they feel they don't need to study. And sometimes you said that they lack concentration, so we have to work on that. And you said you're going to tell us more about that, inshallah.
Yeah. And another fact is that probably, and most probably, it happens, we nag the child. And the child depends on us to study. It's like, waking up in the morning for the prayer. If you depend on your partner, whether it be your husband, your wife, your mother, your brother, whoever it is, then even if the azan is being recited, you'll say, but I'll sleep because I know I'll be waken up. Oh. I won't I won't go without being not waking up. Yeah. So you take it for granted. Whilst it's such a, it's not a good habit at all. You should be independent in that. In fact, test yourself in your independence, how much you can wake up yourself. In the same way, a child, if you enhance his motivation and how to, make him better study, and there are points that we are going to mention, inshallah, as we go along, so the child will himself feel like studying. You may motivate him in that way. Not that you, at the last moment, last hour, for example, of the last part of the day, homework time.
It's not
like that. Unfortunately, the nagging is always there, while parents don't know how to curb this problem. And it can be done so in a better way that it leaves the child independent for a very long time. And he feels like studying. He wants to study and he studies better that way, rather than being forced. When you force a child to eat, that food is not even digested properly. And the child, will feel hungry again. You'll be surprised. I've noticed that in my own child, that when she eats without, having the appetite to eat or being forced to eat like something that she doesn't like, after maybe 2 hours, she really feels hungry for the thing she wants.
Yeah.
So this is not a good thing, to force a child to study. They won't even learn properly. They won't even retain properly. They won't even, feel like they won't even get good grades in the end. So all these are factors that prevent a child from studying. We should know that.
And I think what you said previously about, the child being able to, concentrate and not being able to concentrate. I feel every child has different capabilities, different ways of being better. And sometimes because we don't know what is wrong with the child, we're not able to work on that. Yeah. So I feel like what you said was very important. Once you find out what's the reason that's preventing that child from growing and from, doing rushd, from reaching further in his goal, that's when you're able to make a difference.
That's right.
But when we don't find that out, then we're just stuck in one place,
So it shows that a mother needs to be so careful and have so much good knowledge about their child, right? Whom you're dealing with. Sometimes, parents do this mistake of quickly resorting to things like giving gifts, to their children. momentarily telling them that if you, for example, bring the best marks, then I'll maybe take you to a trip, or maybe give you this so-and-so gift what you want, or a surprise, or yeah, something like that. So, you know, this child will probably work just for the exam.
Oh, so that's going to be their goal.
Yeah, that's going to be the goal. After he has achieved it, the study will be left aside.
Okay.
And we don't want that in our children. We want that to be a lifelong thing, right?
Yes.
We want to produce those kind of children who will work for the society, who will be beneficial for the society, who are study lovers, who are knowledge lovers, you know, in every field, especially Islam. We want to train the smart children to recruit the power for Islam, make them work, inshallah, for Islam.
They are the pioneers.
Yes, exactly.
We're just going to take a short break, inshallah, and we'll be back for more on this after the break. Stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear audience, to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Islamic Upbringing.
So we resort to this. Now, this does not give a fruitful answer at all, because if you compare, for example, if a person at home, for example, a lady, she's so unorganized, she's so messy, and the husband wants her to be organized, so he brings her a gift and tells her, okay, this is your gift, but please promise me now, from now you'll be organized. So what will she do? She will be probably organized, but for how many days? Four or five days. Because this was not the motivating spirit for her. And then if you ask her, why don't you still continue the same way, she said that because nobody appreciates. So mostly if you tell a woman, for example, that how well you tidied the house, or for example, you tell her that I really appreciate that you changed the setting of the house, then she'll say somebody notices, yeah, or how you cook. Otherwise, she won't take interest. So in the same way, a person, a child who studies, if you compliment him in these kind of while studying, making study a beautiful process, a beautiful hobby, then the child will be interested. We will see how to go about doing this.
Then you have to make very innovative ideas to, you know, try and
make
pull
it
him.
Interesting, yeah, for him, that studying in itself is a good thing. Not that because you get something out of it. Yeah.
Because usually then that's the goal, that, if you do this, then you'll get this. And then we feel like, okay, because I want to get that gift, then I should study.
It's like, you know, the concept of sawab. We think sawab, when we get, when we do something, we will get sawab.
Yeah.
That doing thing is the sawab itself.
Very true.
It makes you grow. It makes you, you know, better as a person in every way. For example, if you practice something good, in the process of practicing that only you grow.
Yeah.
You get the benefit.
And sometimes we then forget even the main goal. Like we want to
Jannah. Yeah, but the Jannah is here only whilst you are improving.
And reaching that, you know, closeness to Allah.
Yes, that's right. So first of all, it's like the point to be taken into consideration to improve this studying ability of the child is to create a study atmosphere. Sometimes the house, you know, is the television is on, the radio is on, the mother is talking on the telephone, the father is in his mobile reading newspapers, the children are scattered all over with their toys.
Yeah.
This is not a studying atmosphere. Studying atmosphere is quiet atmosphere. Studying atmosphere is an atmosphere where the table is, you know, clean with books, and the mother is encouraging her, now it's study time.
Yeah.
For example, she doesn't even have to say that, but just to create an atmosphere that the child knows that there are books on the table. You know, his bag is there. He needs to now study. It's like 4 o'clock now. Maybe just to point out the time, that now it's time, you know, that it's getting late. In indirect ways to create a study atmosphere. Maybe make something good for him to have, like tea and cookies or something, that the child is encouraged now that they need the energy, you know, to study. So they have the energy now. So creating a studying atmosphere is very important.
I remember when I was a child, when I would get a new stationery specifically for studying, I would feel so much more motivated. I would see that, okay, my mom has given me this compass with, you know, nice pencils, pens, and I'd feel like, okay, now I need to sit and study, you know, that motivation.
That's right.
So we'll just stop for another short break, and inshallah, we will continue this very interesting conversation.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
So we're back on IRIB English Radio, and we were discussing about, you know, how to encourage children to study and how to, you know, make them enjoy studying, inshallah.
Yeah. Reading skills is one important thing to create the study atmosphere. Always, you know, like a parent, if they really want to improve the child in their study skills, even a parent needs to study. Like, for example, if a mother is talking away over the telephone or chatting away with someone, then there's no atmosphere of studying. Mm-hmm. But if the mother is sitting, in the living room with a book, then the child will see how the mother is interested in reading.
So much more encouraged.
Yeah, so much more encouraged that there's something in reading. Mm. So reading skills always have to be encouraged in children. Either you read to the child or you encourage them that, you know, what kind of information should be more sought for, what is necessary. You know, something to do with the child's hobbies, what the child likes. For example, if he's interested in stars, you show him the latest telescope and see what stars have, you know, for example, yet not come, yet they have died down. Or something to do with maybe biology, if the child is so interested, maybe to tell him about an organ that Allah has created that, you know, is so beautiful that, or maybe our cells that, you know, go up to maybe 60 kilometers high, a tower, and 10 times more. Things like that that are very strange for a child, and he feels like getting to know more and more.
Feels
questions,
exciting.
Yeah, exciting questions that are challenging. And there are children who love challenges more, you know. So just to give them this, you know, atmosphere of studying will make him like start it to study.
Very true, very true.
Unfortunately, sometimes we see that parents are comparing children. So and so, you know, he does this class and this, and you have lagged behind or things like that. That's very, very like poisonous for a child. He hates to be compared. Every child is unique. Another point we should keep in mind is give the child to prioritize what he wants to do first in his day-to-day timetable. There should be a timetable for the child not to stay idle. You know, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. So the child will think and, you know, other things that are not useful, play games and everything. Give a timetable to the child such that, and tell him to prioritize. For example, when do you want to do your homework? During the day before the sun sets.
Mm.
So he will choose, and what extracurricular activity do you want to do apart from study? So maybe he'll say, I'll, for example, play this time to this time, or I'll attend my class from this time to this time, so I have only this time to do my homework. So when children, you know, they say it out of their own mouths, they are ready to, you know, stand by it more than when you tell them that, you know, like from 4 to 5, you have to study.
They feel like they made the decision.
They made the decision and that you should give the, you know, steering wheel to them,
true,
your child to decide. So that's very important.
But do you encourage to have like a strict timetable, or should it be like
flexible?
Yeah, like should it be flexible? Because I think at times when a child is given a very strict timetable, they get pressured, and is that detrimental?
No, of course it is very detrimental. Flexible also we can mean that sometimes, you know, from this time to this time we do a certain act, and from other times we do another act. So that same time should be fixed. Sometimes it can, you know, like be flexible. For example, 3 days a week he goes to class, so you change that timing to another time. But know that those things need to be done.
Mm.
And also, you know, encourage him that it's like something to get over with so that he can do more his other things. For example, read more, you know, read his favorite books.
Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. And we will continue this, inshallah, in the next episode. Dear audience, thank you very much for joining us on the program. If you have any questions, comments or suggestions, please contact us at our email englishradio@irib.ir and visit us at our website parstoday.ir. Inshallah, until the next program, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.